So today's class will be given by Her Grace Preeti Vlasni Mataji, and she will speak on Valmiki Ramayana. So there is a change, but we will again very fortunate to hear about Lord Ramchand. So Mataji, now you can please take over the class. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Pavitra Madhuri Mataji. On behalf of all of our Bhakti Sangha group, we all beg forgiveness because Maharaj couldn't make it. He, of course, he was there in the early morning session, but then he found it very difficult to speak because he's down with throat infection. So since it was a last-minute change, I thought I'll fill in. And we'll just continue with Uttarakhanda, which we had started earlier some weeks back. So we'll just continue with that part. So we'll be doing part two of Uttarakhanda today. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Nilutam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripata Maham Vande Shri Gurum Dina Tarinam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimati Radhanatha Swami Niti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschayate Veshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prayers to Valmiki, Hanuman, and Lord Sri Ramchandra. Kujantam Rama Ramiti, Maduram Madurakshram, Arhya Kavita Shakam, Vande Valmiki Kokilam. Valmikir Milsimhasya Kavita Vanacharinaha, Shrinvan Rama Kathanatam, Konayate Parangatim. Veda Vede Parepumsi Jate, Dasharatapnaje Veda, Pracheta Sadasit, Sakshat Ramayanatmana. Anjana Nandanam Veeram Janaki Shokanashanam Kapisha Makshahantaram Vande Lanka Bhayankaram Manojavam Maruta Tulya Vegam Jitendriyam Buddhimatam Varishtam Vatatmajam Vanarayuda Mukhyam Sri Ramadutam Shirasa Namami Anjaneya Madipatanalanam Kanchanadri Kamaniya Vigraham Parijata Tarumulavasinam Bhavayani Bhavamananandanam Yatra Yatra Raghunatha Kirtanam Tatra Tatra Krita Mastakanjalim Bhashpavari Paripurna Lochanam Marutim Namata Rakshasantakam Sri Raghavam Dasharatatmagam Apraneyam Sita Patim Ragukulanaya Ratnatiba Majanubahum Maravinda Rayala Daksham Ramam Nishachara Vinashakam Namami Hare Krishna. So we will continue part two of Uttarakhanda. So in the part one, we saw the origin of the Rakshasa. We also saw the ancestors of Ravana, both on his mother's side as well as his father's side. And then we stopped at a point where the three brothers, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, and Vibhishna, performed severe austerities and asked for a different boon. So that's where we stopped in our previous discussion of Uttarakhanda. So now we'll continue from here. And basically, I just wanted to brief the different topics seen in Uttarakhanda, just for us to get an idea of what the book is about. First, the history of the demons is discussed about the ancestors of Ravana, in the sense how the demons came into power and all that. That's what we discussed in our previous class. And then Ravana's power and his various conquests and the curses that he obtained from various places, the different kinds of curses that he encountered is discussed next. That's what we will be talking about today, what all happened with Ravana. Basically, Ravana's history is what we'll be discussing today. And then next, the glories of Hanuman is described in detail, which is extremely interesting. And also the history of the Vanaras is discussed, like important Vanaras like Vali and Sugriva and others. A little bit about them is discussed. And then we see that there is a lot of discussion on the kings of the Ikshvaku dynasty, prominent kings of the Ikshvaku dynasty. And then finally, the important part where Sita enters the earth. I think that is something everyone knows. So separation, final separation where Sita enters into Mother Earth. And then the rest of the years when Ram rules Ayodhya. And some important pastimes during this time is spoken about. And then finally, the disappearance of Ram, Lakshman and others. And the Phalashruti. So this is how the Uttarakhanda is classified. So again, we'll be following the same format like last time. We will look at the basic storyline and take some realizations as and when applicable. And you can actually follow the summary by Purna Prajna Prabhu if you have it with you, because this is based on that summary that he has given. Like our previous session, we will make this very interactive so that we can connect back to our previous Ramayana classes. Because if you see, the Uttarakhanda itself is more like, covering up the missing parts of the previous sections. That's how the Uttarakhanda is. I mean, if someone has a question as to who Ravana was, why he was so powerful or something like that, those answers are actually written in the Uttarakhanda. So basically, Uttarakhanda is like fill up the blanks, you know. Whatever was missing has been told here. So there is often reference to what has already been discussed in the previous khanda. So like last time, we'll make it interactive. I can probably ask questions and Mataji, you know, you all can, if you remember something from the previous sections, you can answer. Okay. So now we'll continue with the storyline. Now that the Rakshasas, especially Ravana and his brothers, they got super powerful after getting all these boons from Brahma. Ravana's grandfather, Sumali, we discussed about the three brothers, Mali, Sumali, and Malyavan in our previous class. So they were actually the grandfathers of Ravana, and Sumali is the direct grandfather. Okay, so they were all in the Patala Loka because they were scared of Lord Vishnu. So remember, we saw that they vacated Lanka and they went and they hid in the Patala regions. And then later, two generations later, we see Ravana appeared and he became very powerful, asking boons from Lord Brahma. So that is where we stopped previously. So we're just taking on from there. So all the these three Rakshasas, that is the three brothers, they got very, very powerful with their new boons. And Ravana's grandfather, Sumali, along with his ministers, now the ministers' names are mentioned, they were Maricha, Prahastha, Mahodara, and others, okay? So the same names you will see, the same people remained as ministers even later, even with Ravana. So you all, of course, Maricha is a very famous character. And then there was Prahastha. He was one of the best warriors. And you will see his name again and again in the Yuddhakanda, Prahastha and Mahodara. So they were excellent ministers, even at the time of Sumali, even at the time of Ravana's grandfather. So along with the ministers, Sumali and others, they rose from the hellish planets and they went on to meet Ravana, their grandson. And Sumali went and told his grandson. He went and told his grandson, "Hey Ravana, actually, we are so happy for you that you have come back so victorious, you have done so many austerities, and you have obtained so many boons. Actually, this great city of Lanka belonged to us. And because of fear from Vishnu, we fled away from there and we are now residing in the lower planetary systems. And you know what? Your half-brother, Kubera, is now residing in the Lanka which belongs to us. This Lanka actually belongs to the Rakshasas and he's simply occupying it. It is lawfully ours. So now you have emerged as the most powerful Rakshasa because you have acquired boons from Brahma. So this is our chance. Please, somehow or the other, by sweet words or gifts or by force, Lanka should be taken back from Kubera and you can become our new ruler." So when Ravana heard this, at first he was a little hesitant. He said, "Hey, grandfather, why are you talking like this? Kubera is actually my half-brother. That is, he's my father's other son. So how can I deceive him? It's not nice, you know, to fight between family members." Then Sumali, when he heard these words, he felt a little embarrassed and he felt silent because his grandson was advising him, saying that, you know, don't talk like this. You can't have enmity between family members. So at that time, Sumali, he just felt a little silent. But then Prahastha, the minister, he came forward and he started advising Ravana so that the motive of all the Rakshasas can get fulfilled. So he told, "My dear grandson Dashagriva, Ravana, what's all this brotherly feelings among heroes that you're talking about? Heroes don't see family relationships. Don't you know? There are so many stories in history, like the sons of Aditi and Diti, the Devas and the Dhanavas or the Daityas. They are half-brothers. They always fight. We know this. We always hear them fighting and they are still fighting. Actually, the Daityas, they were the rulers of the entire universe. They are much more powerful than the demigods. But somehow or the other, because of the support of Lord Vishnu, they just lost everything. So Ravana, just think about it. There is no use thinking of whether Kubera is your brother and whether he will be affected or not. So we must just get hold of Lanka. And now for us, that is important. More than anything, just think about it. You can become the king of all the Rakshasas if you do this. If you just obtain this Lanka from Kubera. So greed for power is something very natural in the material world. After all, we are all here in this material world because we want to be a controller at some level. You know, at some level, I just want to be a controller. That is the reason why we are all here in this material world. But with authority, we must remember, with authority and power comes responsibility to utilize it properly. So if one becomes a leader, he must be exemplary, as people automatically look up to him, as it is said in the Bhagavad Gita, Yadyat Acharati Shrestas. So it is a huge responsibility, but then the greed for power is something that overtakes all our thinking. It becomes very addictive. So anyway, Ravana, he was being poisoned by this advice of Prahastha, and he began thinking. He thought, anyhow, he had so many boons that he had acquired from Brahma, and also he had full support of the clan of the Rakshasas. So pretty much nothing can happen to him, and he agreed for this proposal. So he told Prahastha to go as a messenger. You know, he called his uncle's minister, his grandfather's minister, Prahastha, and he told him to go as a messenger to Kubera with a message. So the message that the Prahastha took and went and told Kubera was, Ravana has asked for the city of Lanka in a peaceful manner because it originally belonged to the Rakshasas, and now our new king Ravana is asking for it. So when Kubera heard this message, he immediately agreed like a perfect gentleman. He told Prahastha, actually, only because I heard from my father that Lanka was vacated by the Rakshasas, I went and took shelter there. But now, if this brother of mine is insisting, if he feels that his family on the mother's side is back and they want to take up Lanka, I'm ready to give up Lanka. And Ravana can enjoy Lanka without any fear of rivalry from me. So Kubera, he immediately agreed, and he told Prahastha, yes, my brother can come and take Lanka. So and he went to his father and he reported the matter to his father, Vishravas. And he told him that Ravana apparently sent a messenger and now he wants to be the king of the Rakshasa, so he is asking for Lanka. And I agreed because I didn't want to fight with my brother. So then Vishravas, he heard this and he said, actually, whatever decision Kubera you have taken is correct. Because Ravana, I know him. He had approached me before this also. He has this idea of acquiring Lanka. But I chastised him earlier because I didn't want you to be disturbed. But now I see that he's become very, very strong after acquiring boons. So it's not a great idea to wage a war against him unnecessarily for Lanka, because I know he's very, very powerful and he will do what he wants. So then he told Kubera, it's okay, my son, you proceed towards Kailash and you make your residence there. There is a river called Mandakini. So make your residence there. It's a beautiful place. So immediately, Kubera, along with his loyal followers, his wife and children, they all left for Kailash. And to this day, we know that Kubera's abode is in Kailash. So this is how the story of Kubera transferring from Lanka to the area of Kailash happened. Now, Ravana, along with his ancestors, they all formed a good team, team of Rakshasas. And Ravana was coronated as the king of Lanka, and he ruled very happily with all his followers. And remember, in our previous class, we spoke that Ravana had a sister by the name Shurpanaka. And Shurpanaka, he got her married to a Danava called as Vidyujjihva. Being the responsible brother, he got her married to a Danava called as Vidyujjihva. So once, while Ravana was, Ravana and Kumbhakarna and Vibhishan had to get married. So this is the next step that is discussed. So once Shurpanaka was married off and Ravana was once sporting in the forest, he came across a demon called as Maya. We must have heard Maya Dhanava. So he came across him. He was the son of Diti and he was the architect of the demons. And he he was accompanied by a very young, beautiful girl who was his daughter. Now, any guesses who the daughter of Maya is? Anyone wants to say?
It wasn't Mahodari, was it?
Yeah, Mandodari.
Oh, it was Mandodari. Okay, it was.
Yeah, it was Mandodari. I know that's what you meant. So, yeah, it was Mandodari. So, this is the first time Ravana seeing his wife Mandodari. Okay. So, Ravana, he saw Maya and he saw Mandodari walking with Maya. Now, seeing them, Ravana, he inquired from this Maya Bhanava about the identity about him and his daughter. Then Maya told the story that he was married long, long ago to an apsara called as Hema. Now, just try to remember our past classes of the Ramayana. This part is interesting. So Maya is telling his history. He's telling, long time back, he was married to a very beautiful apsara called as Hema. And for her sake, he built a very beautiful isolated city, cave-like city, decked with all these pearls and diamonds, and he lived with her very happily there. So now you remember, when we were discussing the Kishkinta Kanda long time back, we saw that a troop of Vanaras was sent in the southern direction, headed by Hangada, Hanuman and others. And they got lost in a magical cave, and the guardian of that cave was called as Swayamprabha. Remember? And finally, Swayamprabha let them exit in the southern end and they came out and they reached the shore of the ocean. So this is the same magical city that Maya built for Hema. So then Maya said that it has been 14 years since Hema left me and went to serve the demigod. But then I have a daughter from Hema who's born from Hema's womb. And I am looking for a suitable husband for Hema. So if you can remember Kishkinta Kanda, towards the end, we saw that about this magical city, because the Vanaras enter this place and they see an old ascetic woman called a Swayamprabha. And Swayamprabha tells, I am the guardian of this place which belongs to Hema, and Maya had built it for Hema. So this is the same thing that we are looking at now. Okay, so Maya tells his history that he had this beautiful city, Hema lived with him for some time, but now it's been 14 years. And she has gone to serve the demigod. Okay? But he, at that time, during having association with her, he had three children. And the daughter was called as Mandodari. Okay? That's the daughter he's holding in his hand. So he looks at Ravana and he tells, I'm looking for a suitable husband for this daughter of Hema. Not only that, I have two sons from her who are Mayavi and Dindidi. You might have heard these names during the Yuddhakanda. Mayavi and Dindidi also settled with Ravana in Lanka, and they also fought the war. Okay? So Mayavi, Dindidi and Mandodari, all of these are children of Hema and Maya. So now Maya asks Ravana, who are you? So can I know who you are? Tell me your identity. So at that time, Ravana very, very smartly, understanding the greatness of Maya, because Maya is no ordinary person. He is the architect of the Danavas and he is such a great personality. So he immediately, he revealed his identity like this, very smart Ravana was. He said, oh, you're asking about me? I am the grandson of Pulaksya, the son of Vishravas and the great-grandson of Brahma. So he gave a very glorious introduction about himself, just to be shown like he's really great. And Maya was very impressed. And there itself, you know, seeing that, oh, this is the great-grandson of Brahma, he's got such a great lineage, Pulatya Rishi, oh, Vishravas, this must be a great person. So immediately, Maya was very impressed, and there itself, immediately, he gave his daughter Mandodari to Ravana, and he kindled a fire there, and he got them married right there in the forest. So at that time, Maya also gifted his son-in-law a javelin, a spear, which he obtained after performing great austerities. And this is the exact same spear that he used to attack Lakshman. Remember, during the Yuddhakanda war, so Ravana, first he throws the spear to attack Vibhishan because he's very angry with Vibhishan. But then Lakshmana comes forward and he takes on the spear to protect Vibhishan. So this is the spear that he actually got from his father-in-law. Okay? So anyway, Ravanam, he came back to his capital with his new wife, and he wanted his brothers also to get married. So he got the granddaughter of Bali Maharaj. Okay, Bali Maharaj had a granddaughter whose name was Vajrajwala. She married Kumbhakarna, and the daughter of a Gandharva by the name Shailusa, the Gandharva's name was Shailusa, his daughter was obtained as a wife for Vibhishan. Vibhishan's wife name was Sarama. She is the same Sarama who took care of Sita during the time when the war was happening. She took care of Sita in the Ashokavan, and she was very supportive of Sita. It is the same Sarama who is the wife of Vibhishan. And Sarama was born near Lake Manasa Sarovar, and her birth also is a little bit discussed, that, you know, she, some, you know, like how she was born near Lake Sarovar. Anyway, so this is the story of the three brothers getting married. Now, after they got married, now, what was the original question that Lord Ramchandra asked Agastya when he started the Uttarakhanda? Ramchandra asked a question, why do you say that Meghanada is so important? Why do you say that he is the strongest? And then Agastya began telling the history of the demons. He said, I cannot answer that question directly. First, I will talk about the history of demons. Then I will talk about the importance of Ravana. Then I will talk about his son, right? So that's how the story unfolds in the Uttarakhanda. So at this time, after Ravana was married to Mandodari, finally she gives birth to her first son. His name is Meghanada. Nad. It is not Nath. It is Nad. There's a difference, because Meghanath means Lord of the Clouds. Okay? But Meghanada means one who cried like the clouds. Because as soon as he was born, he cried out like the rumbling of the clouds. Hence, his name is Meghanada, not Nath. Okay? So, now, Meghanada was born. And still we will not get into the details of Meghanada. Agastya continues to say some more stories, because he wants to talk about the greatness of Ravana before he talks about his son. So meanwhile, Kumbhakarna, he was cursed to sleep for months together. We saw that in the previous class. So he had to go and sleep now. We didn't see what happened to Kumbhakarna after that. So yes, Kumbhakarna, he got this curse, or so he was trying to ask for a boon, but it ended up being a curse. And he was cursed to sleep for months together. So once Kumbhakarna, you know, meanwhile, all these things were happening. There was a lot of action happening in the first half of his sleep. Now, again, Kumbhakarna woke up from his sleep, and he went and requested his brother to build a very nice and comfortable residence for him so that he could sleep very undisturbed. And Ravana actually built him a beautiful cave-like mansion on top of a mountain which was decked with diamonds and crystals and other gems. So we have seen this description also when we were discussing about how the Rakshasas woke up Kumbhakarna. It was a very huge description of how the cave was and how Kumbhakarna was so big and he was so gross and people went and woke him up. So this is the cave that's being spoken about here at this point. So Kumbhakarna was very happy with his new cave. He went and he slept there. So while he was sleeping, Ravana went ahead with many of his other conquests. Okay, he went ahead, he conquered the demigods, he destroyed the rishis and the gandharvas, and he attacked everyone without any restraint. Because he was so proud that he had these boons, and this newly found power was so intoxicating that he went ahead and destroyed many, many people, many sages, demigods, and many others. So hearing these different exploits of Ravana, Kubera, his half-brother, who was a well-wisher for him, who was also a well-wisher for the different rishis and demigods, and he had the responsibility of being the elder brother of Ravana, right? Like, he was a responsible elder brother. So he sent a messenger to Ravana's palace to advise Ravana for the benefit of everyone, for the benefit of his brother, as well as for the benefit of the rishis and demigods. So the messenger who was sent by Kubera came to Ravana, and he began reading Kubera's message to Ravana. So this is what the message said. It said, "My dear brother Ravana, I've come to know about all your exploits, how you have destroyed the Nandana gardens, you have caused so much harm to the demigods and all the saintly people. But as a responsible brother, that too coming from a family of a great rishi like Pulitzer, it is your responsibility to behave properly and upkeep the name of our lineage. I know that now the demigods are actually planning to go against you because you have disturbed them so much. And as an elder brother, I have the responsibility of correcting you and bringing you back to the right path. So I will tell you something, my dear brother. I'll just tell you one small story. Once, while I was traveling in Mount Kailash, I just by mistake happened to see Lord Shiva along with his wife Rudrani. And I happened to cast my glance on Parvati Devi. It was only out of curiosity I did that. But immediately my left eye became scorched and my right eye became grayish. I felt I made such a big offense by looking at her, and I went and observed austerities for about 800 years. And finally, Lord Shiva himself became very pleased with me, with the austerities that I performed. And he came in front of me and he blessed me and he guaranteed me that forever he will be very friendly with me and never attack me. So, and also he gave me a name called as Eka Akshapingali. That means one whose eyes have turned gray. So like this, I secured the friendship of Lord Shiva. And right after that, right after me performing austerities and securing very good relationship with Lord Shiva, I heard about your misbehavior, that you're tormenting everyone, and I have very immediately sent this message to you. So my request to you, my dear brother, is refrain from this kind of unrighteous behavior that brings bad name to our great family. So when Ravana heard this, he was very enraged. He got very angry. It was like challenging his ego. Already his ego was so bloated, and now comes a message from his half-brother telling him to mind his business. He got very, very angry. He said, "Hey fool, you messenger, who do you think I am? You will not live for long, nor will that brother of mine live anymore. What is he trying to tell in this message? Is he trying to boast about his friendship with Lord Shiva? And he's trying to threaten me, saying that, you know, this is a threat to you. If you do anything to the rishis and demigods, I will come and attack you with Lord Shiva. Is that the intention that he's talking? What is there in his mind?" So he got very angry. And Ravana, in anger, he took a sword and he struck down the messenger, killed him, and gave his corpse to his fellow Rakshasas to eat. Okay? Now, generally, one never kills a messenger. But here, Ravana transgressed the rule. First time this rule was transgressed. And he killed him. So remember, later in the Ramayana, we have seen this, when Hanuman went as a messenger, he tried to do the same thing. He wanted to kill Hanuman. But somehow or the other, luckily Vibhishan was there in the presence of in that court. So Vibhishan went and he stopped, he intervened, and he gave him the advice not to do it. But this, the initial first time when Kubera's messenger went, Kubera's messenger died. But this time, Vibhishan intervened and finally, Hanuman's tail was lit on fire. Okay? Now, Ravana, he was very angry with Kubera and he marched with all his followers to Kubera's abode and he waged a war against the Yakshas, and many Yakshas were killed. Almost so many Yakshas were killed, headed by Manibhadra. And finally, Ravana even knocked down Kubera. He didn't kill Kubera, but he hit him hard on the head. And while Kubera was unconscious, Ravana seized the Pushpaka Vimana. So this is how he got the Pushpaka Vimana. We saw in the previous class how the Pushpaka Vimana was gifted to Kubera. Now in this class, we are seeing how Ravana acquired the Pushpaka Vimana from Kubera. Because throughout the Ramayana, we will see Ravana forcefully acquired the Pushpaka Vimana from Kubera. But we didn't see the story. But now Uttarakhanda gives the entire story of how the Pushpaka Vimana came to Ravana. Okay? So he forcefully took the Pushpaka Vimana from Kubera. He ascended this Vimana when Kubera was fallen unconscious. He had pretty much conquered Kubera. Though he didn't kill him, he had conquered him. So he took the Vimana and he proceeded. So this is the time he sees the chariot. Now, hereafter we will see how Ravana obtained a series of curses. This whole class is about Ravana. But again, it's nothing like generally, you know, when we talk about the Lord, it's very inspiring and we can relish the pastimes of the Lord. It's very purifying. But then what is it about talking, you know, about the demons? I mean, what is it that we can do? We can probably learn what mistakes not to commit. So that is something that the demons can teach us. Okay? So hereafter, we will see how Ravana obtained a series of curses. So Ravana taking the Pushpaka Vimana, he was now very, very proud. He had conquered everyone, even his half-brother who was advising him all the time is now gone. I mean, gone in the sense he was vanquished, like he was all unconscious and Ravana just showed his power. So Ravana, he proceeded very, very egoistically towards the Kailash area. Now, while he was proceeding in his Pushpaka Vimana, he was trying to fly over the Sharavana region. Okay? Now, this Sharavana means a forest of golden colored reeds. Shara is a type of reeds or a type of very sharp grass kind of a thing, a reed. And Sharavana means a forest of reeds. So, anyone wants to take any guesses who was born here? I think it's a very obvious answer. Because interestingly, the story of Sharavana is also mentioned in the Balakanda, but we didn't do it in detail. I just said one sentence about it, but it is described in detail in the Balakanda. So anyone wants to take a guess who was born in Sharavana?
Kumaraswamy.
Yes, Kartikeya, yes, Kumaraswamy. Yeah. So he's also known as Sharavana. That's one of the names that he has.
That's why I remember it.
So he was born there. He's the son of Shiva and Parvati. And it is interesting that, you know, generally, I'm also a Tamilian. So we all say Saravana. It's wrong. You should say Sharavana. Shara, it is not Sara. Because we Tamilicize everything. We say Saravana. So that's not the right the pronunciation. It's supposed to be Sharavana. So anyway, so that is one of the names of Kartikeya. He's got many names. He's very famous in some parts of India. So anyway, he was born there. In these golden-colored reed forest, he was born. And this, our great hero of the moment, Ravana, was trying to fly over this place. But this Pushpaka Vimana wouldn't move. It wouldn't even move an inch. It simply stopped. And Ravana was so perplexed as to why it was not moving. And then right there, Nandishwar appeared in front of him. Now, this Nandishwar was the attendant of Lord Shiva, and he appeared there, and he actually looked very dreadful. He had a yellowish-black complexion and a clean-shaven head and short arms, and he looked very happy because he was blissful being in the service of Lord Shiva. But anyhow, he looked dreadful, and he stopped Ravana, and he told him that Lord Shankara posts on this hill, and this hill is not accessible to anyone. You don't try to... You can come in this region, but you don't try to access this part of the hill. No, the demigods or the rakshasas or any other creature, they never enter this place like this. You cannot do this. So hearing these words, Ravana was very agitated and with angry eyes and, you know, his large earrings shaking. He said, who is this Shankara? Who is this Shankara? So he's asking, who is Shankara? Who is Lord Shiva? So a little bit of acquisition and some victory here and there, pride immediately seeps in. Even in devotional service, when we feel we are progressing a little bit, we have a little taste for some devotional activities, immediately we enjoy being in the limelight and we develop pride. So Ravana looked at Nandishwara's monkey-like face and he started laughing aloud. He was mocking Nandishwar for his appearance. So seeing Ravana laughing at his appearance, he cursed Ravana that the monkey race will be responsible for his destruction. This is the first curse, okay? So that's why the Varnanas came along with Lord Ram and they were responsible for Ravana's destruction. Then he said, Nandishwar told Ravana, I can kill you even now, but I consider you to be already killed by all the misdeeds that you are doing. So I will spare you. And then Ravana said, okay, now you tell me who is the Shiva, the Shankara. I want to see him. So what does he think of himself? He thinks that this hill cannot permit me to pass through. He's, you know, is he so great? He says that, and arrogantly, he placed his hand in the bottom of the hill, and he tried to lift it up violently. You might have all heard of this pastime about Ravana trying to lift up Kailash. So he tried to lift up the entire Kailash very violently, and at that time, the whole hill shook, and Parvati Devi, all the creatures, I mean, all the associates of Lord Shiva who are residing on Kailash also shook, and Parvati Devi slipped and she clung on to Lord Shiva for support and everybody was shaken up. very, very powerful Ravana was. He shook the entire Kailash. And at that time, Lord Maheshwara, with his great toe of the feet, he pressed the hill down and crushed the arms of Dashagriva. So even now, like I told in the previous class, his name was Dashagriva. It is not yet Ravana. He was known only as Dashagriva. Okay? So his arms were crushed by the power of the toe of Lord Shiva. And all the Rakshasas surrounding Ravana while he was traveling, they were all shocked. The entire world was shaken. The oceans became turbulent. The mountains became shaking. The whole earth was like shaken up. Nobody knew what was happening. All the Yakshas, the Gandharvas, Siddhas, everyone told Ravana, "Oh Ravana, you cannot escape this now. Don't try to mess with Lord Shiva. Don't show your arrogance to Lord Shiva. First go and take refuge under Lord Shiva. Sing prayers unto him with great humility. Beg him. And if he becomes gracious, you will be spared. So don't try to mess with him anymore." So then Ravana, he understood the seriousness for once. And he began singing songs in glorification of Lord Shiva and prayers from the Samaveda for thousands of years. And finally, Lord Shiva was pacified with this Dashagriva. And he became merciful. Okay, this is something that we have heard, the story of how Ravana pacified Lord Shiva and he became in good terms with Shiva. Okay, so this is the story of how he shook Mount Kailash. Now, Lord Shiva, he was finally pleased and he said, "Because of you, this entire world started crying. You created so much havoc and the entire world started crying because of your action. So hereafter, everyone will call you by the name Ravana because you made the entire world cry. Hence, your name will be Ravana." So this name was given by Lord Shiva. I think Rupavati Mataji asked this question long time back about the names. So at least for the name of Dashagriva turning to Lord, the name of Dashagriva transforming to Ravana was at this point. Okay. Then Lord Shiva said, "I am pleased with your heroism and now you are free to go wherever you want. I will set you free." And he released the pressure that he was putting on Ravana's arm. So at that time, he acquired good friendship with Lord Shiva. And Ravana asked Shiva to give him a long life. And he also requested for a weapon. And he received a sword known as the Chandrahasa sword. Again in the Yodakanda, we have seen how Ravana was using his Chandrahasa. We have mentioned this, we didn't get into the details, but we did mention the name of the sword as Chandrahasa. So he used this in the battle. Now, later, once Ravana, he was strolling through the Himalayas and he came across a beautiful woman who was performing austerities, and she was the daughter of a great rishi whose name was Kushadvaja. Okay, Kushadvaja's daughter, he saw her. So any guesses who this woman was who was performing austerities? Again, this is writing an easy take. Who was the ascetic woman who cursed Ravana? I think we discussed this story so much in detail in the previous classes.
Wasn't it Vedavati?
Yeah, it's Vedavati. You're right. Yeah. So Vedavati was the son of a rishi known as Kushadvaja. And Ravana, when he saw her there in the Himalayan area performing austerities, he was overcome with lust and he asked her identity. And she said that she was the daughter of a great Brahma rishi and her father's name was Kushadvaja. And Kushadvaja was the son of Brihaspati. So basically she's the granddaughter of Brihaspati. And she said that she had taken a vow that she would only marry Lord Narayana and hence she was performing austerities. So Ravana, he persuaded her again and again to marry him and she asked him to stop talking like that. There was a big conversation and Ravana was forcing her and she was saying, "No, don't talk like that. I will only marry Narayana." And finally, Ravana seized her hair and her hair transformed into a sword and she severed herself and she burst into flames. So we saw the story in detail and we saw the story of Vedavati, Maya, Sita, all that in detail. So we will not get into the details. So this is where he got a curse. okay, that she will be responsible for killing him, or for his death. She will be responsible for his death. So this is curse number two. First we saw the curse of Nandishwar, then we see the curse of Vedavati. Now there is also a small story in between that is being inserted for about how different animals were blessed by the demigods. I'll just say that in a couple of sentences. So then Ravana, he proceeded to the region where King Maruta was performing a great sacrifice with his guru. So all the demigods, they came to attend the sacrifice, and suddenly Ravana appeared there to disturb the sacrifice of Maruta. And all the demigods who were already afraid of Ravana, they all went and they started hiding. And to hide, they took the form of different creatures. So Indra took the form of peacock, Yama took the form of a crow, Kubera a chameleon, and Varuna a swan. So they disguised themselves as different animals and birds because they wanted to escape the vision of Ravana. So Ravana, he approached this King Maruta who was performing the sacrifice, and he challenged him for a fight. But at that time, King Maruta was initially angry. He picked up a sword to fight with Ravana, but then his guru Samvarta stopped him and told him that if he took any harsh actions, all the sacrifice will be wasted. So Maruta took back the sword and he accepted defeat in Ravana's hands, and Ravana was declared to win over Maruta. So basically Ravana was going on a conquest to different places and different kings and demigods and trying to win over them. So Maruta, he submitted. He said, okay, you're the winner, and he let Ravana go victorious. So Ravana left. But the demigods who were hiding as different creatures, they resumed their form. And because Indra was disguised as a peacock, Indra blessed all the peacocks that hereafter there will be no fear from snakes for the peacocks. And spots resembling the thousand eyes of Indra will appear on the feathers of all these peacocks. And he said, whenever I send down showers of rain, because Indra is responsible for sending rain, he said, hereafter all the peacocks will rejoice by dancing, showing off their feathers in love for me. And formally, it is said in scripture that the peacocks were fully blue. They didn't have these beautiful, colorful spots. You know, like the eye of the peacock feather, they didn't have it. It was just plain blue. But now, because of Indra's boon, they acquired these beautiful colors and these eye-like marks on every feather. So these are all little stories that is being told about different creatures, how they changed because of the boons from demigods, because they were scared of Ravana. Okay? Now, Yamaraj, he blessed the crows that various diseases that torment other creatures will not affect the crows. This is very interesting. Even now, scientifically, it has been proven that we know that crows, they eat the dead bodies of, they eat all kinds of things. They're omnivores, right? So they eat dead creatures. They also eat vegetarian food. They eat everything. So even if a crow has eaten a very severely disease-affected creature, like it can be anything, the crow doesn't take on the disease. That is what is scientifically proven. So this is the blessing that Yamaraj gave the crows, that in spite of doing anything, they do not acquire the diseases other creatures acquire. So that is one boon that the crows had. And also when crows are fed, people who are in Yamaraj's domain, the pitris, they will be satisfied in their hunger. That's why during Pindadan and other occasions, we always invite the crows to eat. And not only that, even now in India, the culture is as soon as you cook, you go up to the terrace and you keep some food for the crows, because the pitris are satisfied when the crows come and eat. Okay? So that is about Yamaraj blessing the crows. Next, Varuna, he blessed the swans, saying that the swans hereafter will have a fresh white color just like the rays of the moon. They will look very beautiful in contact with the water. And previously, it seems that the swans were not pure white. The tips of their wings were blackish and their breasts were dark brown. So because of the blessing of Varuna, the swans became pure white in color. These are just some stories. I thought it's interesting, so I'm saying all of that. Then Kubera, the son of Vishravas, he told the chameleon, I'm so pleased with you that hereafter you will have a beautiful golden color. Your dark color will be transformed. So chameleons, they change color, but their original color, he made it a little golden appearance rather than a blackish appearance. That's what Kubera did. So So like this, the demigods, they blessed all these animals and they returned back to their abodes without being attacked by Ravana. They just wanted to escape Ravana. So they did all this and they went back. So let's continue with Ravana. Now Ravana, he wandered about and he came to Ayodhya and he challenged King Anararanya. So this is one of the ancestors of Lord Ram, and we had seen this curse earlier in our previous classes. There was a fierce battle between Ravana and this king, and the king, before he was dying on the battlefield, when he was faced by Ravana, he said, in the future, one of my descendants from my Ikshvaku dynasty by the name Rama will come and kill you because you've insulted the entire Ikshvaku race. Anaranya. So while this oath was being pronounced, all the flowers and other things were raining from heaven and all the demigods said Tathastu. Very soon, Lord Ramchandra will appear and he will kill Ravana. So this is one more curse. And then, of course, Ravana, he went forward. I mean, Ravana pretty much fought with everybody. He went and he attacked even Yamaraj. And when he tried to attack Yamaraj, it was so sure that Ravana would have been killed because Yama could have used his Kaladanda and punished Ravana. But then at that time, I think he was Brahma appeared there and told Yama not to do that because basically Ravana was reserved to be killed by Lord Ramchandra. So this is a small story of him trying to go to Yama, fight with Yamaraj. And later, Ravana, he also went and attacked Varuna, and he did all this. He went to different heavenly planets. He was conquering all the demigods and all that. And then finally, when he was returning back to Lanka after all his conquests, he kidnapped all the virgin daughters of many kings, rishis, demigods, asuras, everyone. Wherever he found virgin women, he would kidnap them. Okay? He just kidnapped everybody. If Ravana saw a girl whom he found very attractive, first he will kill all her relatives and then forcibly take that girl on his chariot. So like this, Ravana's chariot became, this Pushpaka Vimana, it became filled with hundreds and thousands of girls. All of them cried so piteously out of fear and grief. And all these kidnapped girls, they cursed Ravana saying, may the destruction of this wicked Rakshasa one day come about because of a woman. So a woman will be the cause of your death, the next curse. So you see all these curses, they all come together in Ravana's death. So anyway, all the girls, virgin girls, they cursed Ravana that his death will be because of a woman. And again, when they said this curse, flowers fell down from heaven and everyone said Tathastu. So after being cursed by all these women, Ravana, he began to lose his bodily lustre. So during one of his conquests, Ravana also unwittingly, he killed the husband of his sister Shurpanaka. And remember, we saw Shurpanaka was married to Vidyujihva, and during one of his conquests, Vidyujihva had come, but he didn't realize that it was for his brother-in-law. By mistake, he killed him, actually. So after his return to Lanka, she came crying there, and she fell down at Ravana's feet, and she said, you know, how cruel and heartless you are. You have killed your own, the husband of your own sister. You have made me a widow. So at that time, to pacify Shurpanaka, Ravana told her, see, you don't be aggrieved. I will gratify all your desires. You please forgive me. In the heat of the battle, I just couldn't distinguish between friend and enemy. So by accident, I killed your husband. But I give you a good idea. You please go and live under the protection of our cousin Kara, Karadushana, in the Dandakaranya forest. So you go and live there happily, you can have a good time there, and he sends Shurpanaka to go and live in the Dandakaranya forest. So that is where actually Shurpanaka encounters Lord Ramchandra later. So this was something about Shurpanaka coming to the Dandakaranya forest. So after that, Ravana, he went and he conquered all the demigods and what else? Okay, yeah, see, once while he was loitering in the Kailash area, that is the Himalayan area, he came across many apsaras coming out from Kubera's palace. And the entire atmosphere was so heavenly because of all these apsaras who were coming and dancing and, you know, having a good time in that area. So at that time, his eyes fell on the apsara Ramba. You might have heard of this story too. So Ramba was she just happened to pass nearby. And when Ravana saw her beautiful bodily features, he became so eager to enjoy her, and he jumped up from a seat and he went and grabbed her. So at that time, Ravana told her in sweet words to accept him as her husband and remain with him. But, she told, you should not speak like this, because you are just like my father and I'm your daughter-in-law, she says that. And Ravana argued, he said, how can you say that you are my daughter-in-law? Only the wife of my son can be considered as my daughter-in-law. How are you the wife of my son? So then Ramba said, yes, that is correct. You should know that I am the lawful wife of your brother's son, Nalakuvera. That is Kubera's son, Nalakuvara and Manigriva. Two sons are there, right? So she was the lawful wedded wife of Nalakuvara. So she said, I am on my way to meet him right now, and you cannot touch me and behave with me like this. You are like my father. So then Ravana was not interested in good advice. So he was very overcome by lust, and he told her, your argument only applies to women who have one husband. These apsaras, they have no actual husbands, and I don't consider you in such light of morality. So I can do anything with you. So after saying this, Ravana forcibly raped Ramba on a rock. And after that, after she was released with her hair all disheveled and dress all, torn apart, Ramba ran to her husband, and Nalakuvara was very shocked seeing the condition of his wife. And Nalakuvara was extremely angry with Ravana, and he in fact went to a trance of meditation to see what had happened, and he saw how Ravana forcefully took her. And immediately seeing what Ravana had did, Nalakuvara touched water and he pronounced a curse saying, Ravana's head will split into 7 parts if he ever again tries to forcibly enjoy a woman against her will. So all the demigods were overjoyed when they heard this declaration. Again they showered flowers and said Tathastu. So this is the next curse that Ravana got. And after this, Ravana gave up all inclination to have any sexual relationships with women who did not feel that they had an inclination towards him. So then there were some more fights of Ravana with the demigods. So Ravana tried to attack the demigods, and the demigods went and took shelter of Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu at that time said that, don't worry, I will very soon descend. I will very soon come and I will fight with Ravana, and finally he will be killed. So, but I am not going to kill him right now. The time is not yet right, but very soon I will come. So this is like, after all these exploits, that's when the demigods, they go and they surrender to Lord Vishnu. And he said that he will appear as Lord Ramachandra to kill Ravana. So a little bit about Meghanada, because this is the initial question that was asked by Lord Ram. So there was a fight between the demigods and the demons. And in that battle, Meghanada, he fought with Indra and Jayanta. And both Jayanta and Meghanada appeared to be equally matched. But then Meghanada, he used his Rakshasa illusion methodologies, and he made Jayanta fall down. So in the darkness of this fight of the demigods and the demons, and Meghanada using all his illusory powers, it so happened that the entire battlefield was very confused. The demigods didn't know what was happening. So at that time, Puloma, who's the father of Indra's wife, Sachi, he came there and he forcibly took his grandson, Jayanta, by hair and took him away from the battlefield so that Jayanta wouldn't die. Okay, Jayanta is the son of Indra. I'm just saying these little stories. Don't get confused. So Jayanta is the son of Indra. Indra and Ravana, again, they had a battle in another instance. And Indra's son Jayanta was fighting with Meghanada. Now the focus is on Meghanada. What are the exploits of Meghanada? And we'll close with that, okay? So Meghanada and Indra were, Indra's son Jayanta were fighting. Indra's son Jayanta was getting very weak. And his grandfather forcibly took him away from battlefield to save his life. So then Ravana directly, he went to fight with Indra. So at this time, Meghanada, when Indra and Ravana were fighting, Meghanada invisibly, entered the crowd of the demigods, and he came before Indra and he started releasing showers of arrows. And Meghanada, in fact, at this time, he directly conquered Indra. That is, he exhausted Indra and Indra fell down. He bound Indra by his mystic power, and Indra was like completely lost in the hands of Meghanada. So at that time, the demigods were all very disheartened, and Ravana ordered his son Meghanada to take Indra captive. Because, see, Meghanada had become very, very powerful by now. He knew the art of fighting with mystic powers, and he was so strong that he even conquered Indra and took Indra captive. So at that time, when he took Indra captive, Lord Brahma appeared there, and he went and told Ravana that because of the prowess and the valor that was exhibited by your son Meghanada is so wonderful, let them hereafter be known as Indrajit from this day, because he conquered even Indra. This is the time Brahma gave the name Indrajit to Meghanada. Meghanada was now known as Indrajit. So he said, but please leave Indra in exchange. Instead of that, I will give some special boons to Meghanada. Okay? Brahma came and said that. Now, at this time, Meghanada said, if I have to leave Indra, give me a boon of immortality. So at that time, Brahma said, it is not possible for any created beings to have this unconditional immortality. So you please ask for something else. At that time, Indrajit said, here is my request. At the time of battle, if I offer oblations to the sacrificial fire and let a chariot emerge from the flames, as long as I am seated on that chariot, let me be immune to death. In other words, only if I engage in a battle, having finished my chanting of mantras and offering oblations, will I be subjected to destruction. That means, remember what happened during the time of the war. What was advised to Lakshmana? Lakshmana was advised to go and stop the sacrifice that Indrajit was performing. Because if he completed that sacrifice and came back on the chariot that emerged, you know, from the fire, he would come back powerful. But if someone stopped him while he was performing the sacrifice and disturbed him, that is the only way to kill Indrajit. Okay, so that's how, remember, they had this plan and they went and they stopped Indrajit from completing the sacrifice, and Lakshmana attacked Indrajit. So this is the plan, to stop Indrajit from completing the sacrifice, because he had acquired this boon from Brahma. If at all he completed the sacrifice, he would come out immortal, or no one could kill him. So this is the boon, the story of the boon of Meghanada, and that's why Meghanada was so powerful and everyone was so scared of him. So this was the conversation between Ram and Agastya. The question asked by Ram was, why do you say that Indrajit was so powerful? And after a lot of history of the demons and Ravana's conquests and Ravana's curses and the birth of Meghanada and the different conquests of Meghanada, finally, Agastya gives this answer, that he had conquered Indra, he came to be known as Indrajit, and he had some special powers that if he did certain sacrifices, no one could kill him. Okay, so that's why I said that Indrajit is actually the most difficult to conquer. So this is the answer finally given by Agastya. Now, we will stop at an interesting point, because we should start the glories of Hanuman. So we will stop at an interesting question that Ramchandra asks next, okay? So then Ram inquired, were there any Kshatriyas who were able to defeat Ravana? So at that time, Agastya Rishi, he narrated how a particular Haihaya king by the name Kartavirya Arjuna, you all know Kartavirya Arjuna from Bhagavatam, so Kartavirya Arjuna had conquered Ravana and even tied him up in a battle. And when Pulitsya Muni went to Mahishmati and asked for his grandson's release, Kartavirya Arjuna immediately left Ravana. Okay, Pulitsya is the grandfather of Ravana. So Kartavirya Arjuna had once arrested Ravana. He is one king who had arrested even Ravana. And then Agastya also says that even Vali had once conquered Ravana. So you have all heard the story of Vali. So Ravana, he went near the southern ocean where Vali was performing his morning oblations. And at that time, the Rakshasa king, Ravana, he saw Vali being engaged in meditation and absorbed in saying prayers.
So, desiring to capture this monkey who looked very interesting, Ravana began to move very silently towards him from behind. But Vali could see Ravana out of the corner of his eyes. And remaining very undisturbed, Vali thought, I will capture this Rakshasa when he comes near and I will keep him under my armpit. So, what happens is, Ravana tries to approach Vali from behind. He just tries to destroy Vali. He just finds this monkey doing austerities near a shore. So, he tries to go and disturb Vali. But Vali is so strong, he could hear Ravana's footsteps. And when Ravana came close to him, Vali suddenly whirled around and caught him and put him in his armpit. And Vali sprang in the air from the next ocean for his next oblation. Like from ocean to ocean, Vali was jumping, keeping Ravana in his armpit. And finally, he brought him to Kishkinta and Vali, put Ravana down. And Vali started laughing at Ravana and asked him who he is. And Ravana identified himself as the king of the Rakshasas. And actually, Ravana was very impressed with Vali. He said, oh, you have such great speed. Your speed is matched to Vayu and Garuda. So who are you? You seem to be the king of the monkeys. So tell me about yourself. You're such a great hero. And they were and Vali revealed his identity, and both Ravana and Vali, they became very good friends in that incident, actually. Ravana was overpowered by Vali. He was also overpowered by Kartavirya Arjuna. But he acquired very good friendship with Vali, and there, interestingly, they lit a fire and they exchanged vows of friendship. See, remember when we were talking about, I think, Kishkinda Kanda, when Ramchandra went and met Sugriva, they lit fire and they exchanged vows of friendship. Similarly, Vali and Ravana were also very good friends. That's why Vali wouldn't have, agreed to fight against Ravana. So this is something. That's why Ramchandra took the help of Sugriva and not Vali. Vali was killed and Sugriva's help was taken. Because here, we see that Vali and Ravana had actually become very good friends. They lit a fire and they took vows of friendship. So, at that time, Ramchandra said, my dear Agastya Rishi, very nice. I heard about Vali overpowering Ravana. I heard about Kartavirya Arjuna overpowering Ravana. Yes, Vali is very powerful. He's a great hero. I agree that. But somehow, my dear Agastya Rishi, I feel that Hanuman's power exceeds your powers. Because why I'm saying this is, when I went to Lanka, I saw that he alone was capable of, vanquishing the entire army. He was very victorious. When I sent him as a messenger, he could easily recover Sita. I really don't know how to express my gratitude towards Hanuman. He's the best of all my servants, the best of my followers. So there is a doubt in my mind. I would like you to answer this question. When there was enmity between Vali and Sugriva, why didn't Hanuman intervene and vanquish Vali? Because I know Hanuman is very capable. Is it true that he was not aware of his actual power? Otherwise, how could it be that he simply stood idle and watched Sugriva suffer? So my dear Rishi, my dear Agastya Rishi, you know all the truth. So please narrate to me the wonderful pastimes of Lord Hanuman so that all my doubts can be removed. So with this question, we will stop. Next, we will see the beautiful story of Lord Hanuman that is discussed in Uttarakhanda and also a little bit about the other Vanaras. So I'll enter. If you have any questions, realizations, comments, corrections, because I don't know if there are any corrections, please go ahead and let me know. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Preeti Vilasini Mataji, all glories to the Ramayana, all glories to Hanuman. Thank you so much again. And again, you left us on a cliffhanger. That's not nice. But we will wait. We will impatiently wait for the next episode of the Ramayana. Couple of things I was thinking was, it's interesting that those people, first of all, in the beginning, and you may have mentioned it, that, what does they say? Power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely, or something like that. So we see, lust, greed, these anarthas, which are so strong, completely overcome Ravana. And as he gets more greedy. He wants more and he attacks more. It's interesting, though, that in the beginning that his grandfather's minister advised him, or his grandfather and the minister advised him to, you know, attack his brother. Yet he wasn't in the inclined to attack. So there was a little spark of, like, you know, of goodness somewhere in there. Yeah, you know, obviously there's some little bit of intelligence to it. But, you know, of course the association he had, you know, covered that up and brought out his bad tendencies, and the more powerful he got, the more corrupted he got. So that was interesting just to note that. And also him, if he could overpower and attack them, he did it. You know, he overcome, and if he could not, then he made friendship with them, right? He praised them, and I mean the way he manipulated, but I mean I guess that you know, it's whatever you call it, diplomatic or whatever the word is. You know, so that shows. But, you know, one thing that really, I guess, question I have and a thought I'm thinking is, so much had to happen. You know, it wasn't, I mean, how many curses does it take? It just seems to me it took so much patience. I mean, if you are one of those, thousands of, you know, women that he captured, that he kidnapped, or if you were, all the different people and you know, Gandharvas, or the particularly the women. Okay, I'm thinking about this because of situation today. So many things can happen before finally somebody suffers a punishment. It's very, very disconcerting, I guess you'd say. You know, how long they had to wait. And for the final, you know, and obviously finally the devatas go, you have to do something, and then Lord Vishnu, you know, Krishna says, I will come down and I'll take care of it. But how long they had to wait, it's just very, very inconceivable to me. That just kind of like things of thought in my mind of how we don't know when things are supposed to happen, and I guess we need to just wait for the punishment to come. So, you know, and, you know, just like I think also Narakasura also was the one who had also kidnapped women. And then one other thought I had that Narakasura, women, and I can't remember. If I remember, I'll tell you. I'll ask later. But, I know. I remember now. I was just thinking about it. You're saying that in Hiranyakasipu and Hiranyaksha, for example, Hiranyaksha also was trying to find somebody to fight all the time, and he was going everywhere, you know, being some completely, overpowered by his ego and his power, you know, his ability to defeat people. So just obviously, you know, another incarnation of Jaya and Vijaya, so anyway, just some thoughts, reflections. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. I look forward to these reflections. Thank you. So true. Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasini Mataji. Very, very wonderful. Katha.
Hare Bol.
Amagatha. So, the time just goes on, and then soon the knee stopped, and the Katha has to be stopped. Found in next time. I hope it will be soon. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you. Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna, for the beautiful class. And so many points, Mataji summarized so many points about the association we have and about the power of the women and so many things, Mataji. Everything was so beautiful. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Pavitra Madhavi, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanvas Pranam. It was a beautiful class, Mataji. I have a few questions. In the last class, you had mentioned that from Brahma came two kinds of Rakshasas, right?
Rakshasas and Yakshas, right?
Yeah. So why there were two types? What is the difference between those two?
Why they were two types? I don't know why they were two types. Maybe, see, at that time, I think in that canto, I think I quoted Bhagavatam, a verse from Bhagavatam. I think fourth canto, I'm not sure which exact verse I quoted. But basically, at that time, Brahma was creating different kinds of beings, and different kinds of beings were coming out from his bodily parts. And that's when the Yakshas and the Rakshasas also appeared, just like how human beings and demigods and so many other creatures appeared. Similarly, Yakshas and Rakshasas, two different classification of beings, have appeared from his body, and they had different qualities. Some were inclined towards, their moods were different, basically. Their inclination to do things were different. Does that kind of answer, Mataji?
Yes, Mataji, it does. Okay. And also, Mataji, about Lanka, I don't know, I heard from your class or somewhere else that, like, once Parvati... Goddess Parvati was asking Lord Shiva that I don't have a place to, good place to live in, so get me a good place to live. And then Shiva gets it built from Vishwakarma, and that is the place, Lanka is the place which he gets it built. And she invited a qualified Brahmana, and Ravana was the qualified Brahmana, and in return, as a return gift kind of, or as a Dakshina, Ravana asks for Lanka itself. I don't know, it's the story I heard here or somewhere else, but...
Mm-hmm. So, Uttarakhanda, I've not heard of this story, based from somewhere else, but Uttarakhanda's story is a little different. In the previous class, I was telling, based on what is written here, it says that these three brothers, Mali, Somali, Malyavan, they had acquired Lanka. Basically, they were given Lanka as a gift for the austerities that they performed. And they went and lived there. And later, they were, of course, driven away by Lord Vishnu, and they had to reside in the netherworld. And at that time, Kubera, since Lanka was vacated, Kubera's father told him that he could go and stay there. And then again, the Rakshasas take over Lanka. This is what is there in the Uttarakhanda, but maybe that story I've not heard, Mataji. It could be from somewhere else. Regarding Parvati taking over Lanka, I've not heard that, Mataji.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe somewhere else. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna, Mataji. Okay. So thank you all so much. Thank you all so much for your association. We are in the class now. Ancha Kalpataru Deshchak, Rapa Sindhu.